So today's message is, what is your promised land? I may have a little bit of trouble getting through this message. And this is very near and dear to my heart. And when I studied this week, it's funny because Laura was up here Tuesday and I came in the building and I'd been listening to my Bible on CD in the car, and the Lord just gripped my heart. And just listening to His Word, I started tearing up in the car. And I was humbled at the power of our God. And, you know, you can't, when you start reading and studying this Word and asking God, God, bring this alive to me. Wow, that's what happens. We realize the power that's in this Word. And my life verse, it's funny because we didn't plan or get together. There are churches that get together and they plan their whole year out. They plan the songs they're going to sing. They plan the messages, the themes for every week. We don't do that. Honestly, all of us have jobs outside of the church. We're not here 9 to 5 every day. So we don't have time to do that. Tracy has a job and gets home very late from work. However, God orchestrated, and He does this time and time again, the message and the worship according to what He wants to say to us. It's Him. It is totally Him. And when I knew that we were to talk about Joshua, I said, Lord, you know, I feel like this is the story of Life Church. You're here not by any accident. You are here because God wanted you to hear the message of Joshua. Joshua, a man of courage and bravery. And I want to read Joshua 1, verses 1 through 9. And I'm going to tell you honestly, okay, so when I, not recently, but when I heard for the first time Promised Land, when I started doing Bible studies years ago, I thought, Promised Land. God told Abraham that you would have this land, you would go and you would inhabit it. Now, in my mind, I thought, okay, God's going to give the promised land. The promised land is going to be wonderful. It is absolutely the land of inheritance for His people. Well, there's something that happens. You take the Jordan, you cross the Jordan into the promised land, and what happens after that? Battles. Now, in my mind, I thought, whoo, we're going to rest. And so I start reading and studying this, and there were battles to take place after crossing the Jordan into the promised land. And so that's what I want to really look at today. And even some of the translations, one of the books that I've been reading, the chapter on Joshua, it says, the battle begins. I said, Lord, I don't want the battle to begin. I feel like I've already been battling. I've been marked and scarred, and I've already battled. So I enter the promised land, and the battle begins. But John said something key. God not only equipped us for the battle, He made us to win. He provided the victor through Jesus Christ. He's our victory. So we got to remember that. So now y'all are going to have to talk to me this morning. Y'all are awfully quiet. So y'all can shake yourselves and stay awake here. We have lunch. I could say this, you know, I have unlimited time because lunch is already here. But I promise I won't wear you out. Just make sure and tune in and listen. This message is very important. So let's look at this man Joshua, and Pastor Patrick could not have set it up any better. Joshua, the man that God chose to enter the promised land. Now, Moses, there's a whole nother story, but we know Moses didn't enter the promised land. He led the people to the promised land, but he didn't enter it. And so that's a whole nother message, and we'll talk about that another day. But Joshua was the man that God chose to enter the promised land and to lead His people into the promised land. So I want to look at who Joshua is. And first, I want to look at the promised land. So let's turn to Genesis before we get into Joshua. So Genesis 12, 1 through 3, when the land is actually promised to God's people. So Genesis 12, verse 1, the Lord had said to Abram, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on the earth will be blessed through you. And I get excited when I hear this because, again, the title of the message is, what is your promised land? For me, I want to apply this directly to my life personally, but also to the life of this church. And when I look at it and I say, God, that means that you promised a promised land for my family, for my community, for the church, wherever I am, you have a promised land. And all peoples on the earth will be blessed through you. So we have a job to do. There's something bigger than ourselves that God wants to accomplish to bless people through us. Through us. All right, so let's turn to Joshua then. And let's see who this man, Joshua, we're going to start in Joshua 1. Who was Joshua? Joshua 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give to them, to the Israelites. I will give you, what does it say? Y'all talk to me. What does it say? Every place where we put our foot, every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. And then it defines it. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon, from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country, to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. Now, here's verse 5. Verse 5. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. No one will be able to stand against you. So we may have attacks, but that tells me right there that we will win the battle. Even though people will try to war against us, or we know spirits and principalities, they will try to war against us. However, we have the victory. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Now, let me ask a question here. Do you believe that this word is for today? Do you believe that this is a living, breathing word that was not only applied then, but it applies to today? Then what is God telling us? He is telling us, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. That is a promise of God. No matter how dismal the circumstances look, God is always there. Number 6, verse 6. Be strong and courageous because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Verse 7, he says it again. Be strong and very courageous. Important key here, be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then, you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. And I have to stop and look at this again and say, okay, so who was Joshua? Because God has given him some very specific, clear instructions here. But who was Joshua? Let's look. He was born in slavery in Egypt, so he saw that. His name actually means salvation or the Lord's salvation. That's what Joshua means. He watched Moses lead the people out of slavery through the Red Sea. So Joshua saw that. He was part of it. He was raised up and trained by Moses. And Moses gave Joshua confidence because of the faith that Moses had in Joshua. If someone like Moses believes in you, then that gives you a sense that, okay, I am of value because this godly man sees the godly value in me. Very critical, very important. Joshua was on the mountain when Moses received the law. And I love this, and I have to turn to this scripture. Joshua stayed in the temple after Moses left, just like Pastor Patrick's little illustration there, to stay in God's presence. And I knew that God's presence would be something that we really talked about strongly today. I didn't realize the impact that God had prepared for this service. So I probably won't get through this message, but I want to not rush through and us miss the point that there is strength, power, courage. Your answers are in his presence. See, here's the key. I have to get my answers, but you have to get your own answers from God. Your answers are different than my instructions. I can't go and get in his presence and get your instructions. Hey, God, I'm here for Miss Sherry. Why didn't Miss Sherry come? Why isn't she here? It is not my place to get her instructions or your instructions. We have absolute, when you get in God's presence, everything changes. He melts away all that stuff that we face every day, and all of a sudden, you hear from God. I don't want you to ever doubt that you can hear from God. We have the Holy Spirit. We are empowered to hear from God. Two types of words, and I'm kind of skipping around on my notes here, but there are two types of words, logos and rhema. What is logos? Anybody know? Written word. What is rhema? The spoken word. All through Joshua will give instructions to the people, and he'll say, come hear what the Lord has said. Come hear the words of the Lord. So we'll hear that. And if you study Joshua, I encourage you, study the book of Joshua at home and see the power and the things that he faced, but yet he was victorious when he followed the instructions of the Lord. So let's look at Exodus 33, Exodus 33 and verse 7. Because when I read this, I thought, Lord, you know, if we could just understand the importance of being in your presence. You know, there are some times when if I get discouraged, there are some times I just need to sit and be quiet in his presence. There are some times I turn on worship music. There are some times I need to close my eyes and just let the Lord minister to me and just be in his presence. Because there's healing there. There's encouragement. Now listen to this. And I think this impresses me about Joshua more than anything else. The tent of meeting. So this is Exodus 33, verse 7. Now Moses used to take a tent and pitch it outside the camp some distance away, calling it the tent of meeting. Anyone inquiring of the Lord would go to the tent of meeting outside the camp. And whenever Moses went out to the tent, all the people rose and stood at the entrances to their tents, watching Moses until he entered the tent. As Moses went into the tent, the pillar of cloud would come down and stay at the entrance, while the Lord spoke to Moses. So obviously God is speaking to Moses while he's in his presence. Whenever the people saw this, the pillar of cloud standing at the entrance to the tent, they all stood and worshiped, each at the entrance to their tent. The Lord would speak to Moses face to face as one speaks to a friend. Then Moses would return to the camp. But his young aide, Joshua, son of Nun, did not leave the tent. Joshua desired to stay in God's presence. He wanted to be in God's presence because he knew that was important. He knew that was important. So Joshua stayed in the temple after Moses left. Joshua was also one of the 12 spies that Moses sent to spy out the land Canaan. Joshua and Caleb were the only two out of the 12 that came back with a positive report. And actually, the people got quite angry because they were overwhelmed and we look like grasshoppers in their eyes. We can't conquer these things. We can't take the land. But what did Joshua and Caleb say? Oh, yes, we can. With our God, we're able. So Joshua and Caleb were the only two out of the 12 that actually had a positive report. So Joshua was not intimidated by the battles before him. He was a battlefield genius, and I believe, this is just my input here, I believe the reason he was a battlefield genius is because he got in God's presence. See, I can't make a move without seeking God's presence. The one time that Joshua did make a decision without seeking God's wisdom, it didn't turn out so great. He made a treaty with people that he thought were from a distant land. They weren't from a distant land. They were disguised, and they went in there to trick him. He made a treaty with them. The next battle, they lost. So Joshua hopefully learned that it's not so great when I don't check with God first. If we make decisions without checking with God, and I'm just going to tell you silly things. If I'm driving down the road and I feel an impression to go this way, I go that way. Because you know what? I've had a couple of car accidents that were not my fault that totaled my car. And I don't want to do that anymore. So if I feel this little nudge in me, you take that back road. I follow that voice. Because who knows what God is protecting me from? We need to seek God about everything. And I don't mean to move in a fearful, because this is about being brave and courageous. But you also need to listen to that quiet voice that's trying to direct your life. And for goodness sake, if you're making a major decision about marriage or family or a job, seek God and don't move until you've heard his voice. I told John, I said, and even about silly things, I don't think I'll ever make a decision, because people will come to me and they'll say, hey, why don't we do this? And I'll say, you know what? Sounds like a great idea, but let me think about it. Let me pray. I don't ever want to make a decision right then, ever. I want to make sure and get with God and find out what God wants. All right, sorry, back to my notes. So Joshua was the leader to take God's people into the promised land. He even had so much influence with God that he asked for the sun to stand still so that he could finish a battle. Okay, I don't remember reading that a whole lot in the Bible, that man could ask God to intervene in the sun. Wasn't it Elijah that asked for the rain to? So those are the only two examples I can think of. Is that Elijah stopped the rain and Joshua stopped the sun in its place. Only two examples I remember. Now I want to ask you something, and I want to read something to you from our president, Glenn Burris, of our denomination that he posted. I don't know how, just Joshua was the theme of the day. Pastor Glenn Burris wasn't even at the men's conference, but he posted on Joshua one day this week. Now I want to read something to you, because here's the point of us studying this. Here's the point. So from Pastor Glenn, Joshua had the audacity to ask God to do something that had never been done before and has never been done since. He asked God to make the sun stand still in Joshua 10. Not only did God do it, but it allowed Israel to complete its victory against an enemy. Sometimes I think we're afraid or unaware of being able to press into an extraordinary arena of faith because we assume God can't or won't do it. Now, when I read this, I said, God, it's not that I don't think you can do it. I just wonder if you're supposed to do it, if it's something your will. But you know what I thought? What if it is his will and I don't pray and believe for it, so I don't release the hand of God because I didn't ask him? God put us in a position of free will. So when we pray, I believe God moves when we pray. I believe that. Otherwise, there'd be no point. Now, I know about, you know, I don't want to get into, because this is a whole nother discussion, about predestination and that destiny, that God knows everything that's going to happen. But I believe that we have to take responsibility on this earth. God put us here to tend it. So if we're just sitting back and just saying, okay, God, well, you know what? Everything's already destined the way it's going to be, so it doesn't really matter what I do. Why would I pray? Why would I go to church? Why would I give my life to the Lord? Why would I do anything in relationship to God if our actions and our prayers didn't make a difference? God tells us over and over in the Bible, if a man humbles himself and prays, why would he tell us to pray? Okay, sorry, that's a whole nother message. And, okay, so back to his quote, and our assumptions are totally based on past experiences or current realities. If I look at this congregation, and I think about this church building, I think, Lord, we need a new roof. Now, I love my husband so much, but I'm going to correct him on something. We're not hoping for a new roof. We are getting a new roof, period. We are getting a new roof. But anyway, here's the thing. If I look at the current realities, then the voice would tell me, not of God, that, you know what, you don't have enough money to do a new roof. You don't have enough money to do new carpet. I'm not believing in current realities. My God is bigger than that. My God is the God of impossibilities. He's the one that can provide that roof. All right. But what if in an unwritten future was our beginning point instead? In other words, what if God wanted to write a brand new chapter in your journey? What if God chose to do something in and through you that he's never done before and may never do again? What if you dared to pray a sun standstill prayer? I can't answer those questions for you, but I can encourage you to contend for something that is so beyond you that God will have to show up and do it, or it will not get done. Remember, the sky's not the limit. God is. What if? You know what? What if we stand and contend for the people in our community and their salvation? And God, I won't give up. I believe that the people in this community are supposed to hear your gospel. And so whatever ideas, I'm going to tell you honestly, I believe that the ministries we're about to launch into are going to be different. We've talked about being out of the box. They're going to be different. And I'm ready to go for it. All we have to do is step out and let's do it. There are no limits. No limits. All right, so the book of Joshua, before we start talking about crossing over, let's just look at the book of Joshua. The book of Joshua is divided up kind of into four parts. One is crossing over the Jordan River. Next is taking possession of the land through many battles. And I'm going to tell you, if you study Joshua, you will realize what a brutal man he was. With God's hand and with God's instructions. But he was a fighter. He was a warrior. And then the third part is dividing the land among the 12 tribes. And then worshiping and charges from Joshua before he passed, before he died. His charges to the people. But for today, I want to focus on Joshua 1 and Joshua 3 through 5. And so we'll talk about the battles at one point. But there's an overarching theme that is in Joshua 1 and Joshua 3 through 5. And that is that we have to be strong. We have to trust God because he's always with us. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. And I'm just going to tell you, there are many, many words that have been spoken over Life Church. And I take those words very seriously. And these words have been spoken by different people in the congregation as they prayed. But here are some of the things that have been spoken, even just in the last months. That God would take us, that God would never take us where he would not go. That the people will do what we direct, we just have to step into the water. Does all this sound familiar? Be strong and courageous. I can't tell you how many people have whispered in my ears and prayed, and they don't even know. When I was installed and John was installed into pastoring this church, that was the scripture. Some of y'all weren't here then. That was 3 years ago. The scripture they gave us was be strong and courageous. I've had so many people lean over as they're praying for me, and some of you that have, you know, we greet each other, be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. So obviously God's trying to tell us something. We're going to a place we've never been before, and then this word is critical and has been repeated over and over with a lot of people, that we need to keep our focus, don't be distracted. Now what, remember in Joshua 1 we read, don't look to the left, don't look to the right. Don't be distracted. So let's break this down again, Joshua 1 through 9. Here's some important points that we need to remember. Now, these were instructions that God gave Joshua for crossing over the Jordan and then for occupying the land. And here are the points that we need to remember. Everywhere you, Joshua, but also you, us, everywhere we put our foot, I will give it to you. Take it all. The land was defined, the land pledged to Abraham. But you know what? I was thinking this morning as I'm praying and preparing, I said, God, everywhere that we put our foot, we need to claim for you. Now let me tell you something. And I don't know if I heard this somewhere. I can't even remember because I've been studying Joshua and turning it over. But I wrote this in my notes, hand wrote it after I prepared. Everywhere you go, claim it for God. You are responsible for the spiritual atmosphere wherever you go. Okay, so that means John. Now, John takes very seriously his job. When he goes to the job, he knows that he's the one that sets the spiritual tone for wherever he goes. In my home, I'm the one that is responsible for setting the spiritual atmosphere under submission of my husband. But, you know, when John walks through the door in the evenings after a long day at work, first thing we do, I may be cooking and trying to get something prepared or whatever I'm doing, first thing we do is we greet each other with a kiss. Sometimes I grab him and hug him because it's been a rough day. But I'm responsible for that atmosphere. What if he comes in and I say, oh, John, by the way, you know, I'm having trouble with the car. This is going on. Downstairs, it's really messed up because, whatever, you know, we have our whole basement apartment is our children living in it. And anyway, if I start pouring out all my junk, he's going to think, man, why did I come home? I'm responsible for the spiritual atmosphere everywhere I go. If I walk into Kroger, guess what? I'm responsible for the spiritual atmosphere that I take up and down those aisles. If I go to a cashier, I'm responsible. I take seriously changing their attitude if it's bad. We went this morning to Kroger. I shouldn't probably tell you this because it's right down the street. And the girl was just really unresponsive. And I was determined, hello, good morning, how are you? And I am responsible for the spiritual atmosphere wherever I go. Okay, very important. So, claim the land wherever you go. And then crossing the Jordan. Now, we're going to talk about that a little bit. But let me get into the important points. Again, claim the land wherever you go. Instructions for crossing the Jordan. Remember that no enemy shall stand against you. I, the Lord your God, will be with you. Keep the word of the Lord. Observe to do according to the law. In other words, there's no turning to the left or the right. If I am in his word and I'm studying the law and I'm following God's word, then I won't turn to the left or to the right. The law should not depart from my mouth. The law should not depart from his mouth. Meditate on it night and day. Then, it's very clear in Joshua, there's a order of events or instructions. You have to keep the word, observe to do the word, meditate on it night and day, then you will be prosperous. It doesn't happen the other way around. You can't just, you know, okay, God, I pray that you multiply our church, or I pray you give us the funds, or you know what? I heard somebody say, again, I can't remember where it was, I can't worry about the stuff. I just need to seek God. I need to find his presence, get his instructions, listen to him, try to do his word, meditate on his word night and day. Then I will be prosperous. Then I will be successful. God will be with us wherever we go. Now let me talk about crossing the Jordan. And if you look at Joshua 3, let's turn over to that. Joshua 3. And I'm not going to read this, but you should read this at one point. Here's the thing. So God knew, and God likes to do his miracles and make them glorious, right? He didn't ask the people to cross over in a time where the waters were kind of receding. God asked Joshua to lead them through the water in flood season. Okay, how many of you remember the rain that we've had lately? I don't know about your yard. My yard doesn't flood. But with the rain that we've had recently, I'd look out in my yard. It was pretty flooded. It was pretty bad. And my neighbor's yard, because our yard is here and our neighbor's yard is kind of down there, all of our water kind of flowed into their yard. I'm so sorry. Can't do anything about it. It was made that way. His whole driveway was flooded. So God wanted to be just like he is. He's amazing. And he knew this miracle. He asked them to cross over in flood season when the water was over the banks. That's when God asked them to cross. So Joshua told the priest to take the Ark of the Covenant. Now, who knows what the Ark of the Covenant represents? What have we talked about today? Presence of God. And so he instructed, he said, the priests are going to take the Ark of the Covenant and they're going to go forth. And he tells them, you know, stand a certain distance. Out of respect, you stand a certain distance away from the Ark. However, you better keep that Ark in your eyesight. And so what I see in that is God is saying, that Ark is going to go and the priests are going to lead us. We're going to know, don't turn to the right, don't turn to the left. If you keep God's presence always with you, you don't have to worry about distractions. You don't have to worry about getting discouraged. Yes, are we human? Yes, are those things going to come in our mind? Yes. But we have to take it and turn it and say, God, no. You know, sickness and disease is not your will for me, God. I rebuke that. I turn it away even when circumstances look bad. Lord, I stand on your ark, your presence. I stand on the promises that are in your word. I'm not going to turn to the right or to the left. My finances may look bad. God, I'm going to believe you provide for me. You're my provider. So we don't look to the right or to the left. And here's the funny thing. So the water is flooded. Now, I have to say something. We all know the story of Moses crossing the Red Sea. We don't hear people talk a lot about when Joshua led the people through the Jordan River. However, it was just as amazing, just as miraculous, because the water parted and they walked on dry ground. But they had to do something first. What did they have to do first? Yeah, they had to step in. So now, I don't know what you're doing. I'm human. I'm sure if I were one of those priests and I walked up to that water, I thought, man, Joshua, you better have heard from God or I'm done. And they're carrying that ark and their foot hits that water, and what happens? It recedes. I just don't know if I wouldn't just fall out right then. I might just, Lord, you are awesome and holy, and I don't even know if I can stand up. Because you have just taken the water that is at flood stage, overflowing the banks, and you have split it so we can walk through the promised land. That's what, when I was in my car and I'm listening to this Bible being read to me, I almost lost it because I realized, God, how powerful you are. And we stand here and we're believing for a new roof. Lord, you know what? You're going to take care of this roof. You know what I want to believe for? I want to believe for hundreds of children to fill this building on Rockdale and Newton County's break so we can talk to them about Jesus. That's my goal. One day I want to have kids camp during the school breaks. Do you realize what a ministry that would be for parents that have no child care during that week? And guess what we get to do while those kids are here? We can tell them about the love of Jesus in a protected, wonderful, safe environment. Okay, that's miraculous to have the staff and the ability to do that. But God looks at it and says, that's puny. Believe bigger. Believe bigger. Okay, I'm sorry, I'm getting excited. So the soles of their feet touched that water, and the waters receded. The waters parted. Here's a beautiful psalm that reinforces that. I'll just read part of you. It's Psalm 37:23. It says, the Lord makes firm the steps of one who delights in him. You know how I delight in the Lord? By getting in his presence and letting him take care of my stinky attitude and my humanness and my lack of faith and all that that disappears and melts away when I get in his presence. That's how I delight in him. And then, of course, if you read Joshua 3, they cross the river, and then at the end, they actually take stones. Joshua instructs them to build a monument of 12 stones, one for each of the tribes, to remember that moment. To remember the moment when they crossed and God parted the ocean, the waters. He parted the Jordan River. He parted the waters. Remember the miracles of the Lord. And so we're going to stop there. I've got more, but we'll pick up on Joshua. And I want you just to be encouraged today that whatever you want to believe for, God wants to accomplish. And he's asking us to walk stronger and more courageously, to dream bigger. You weren't born just lackadaisically. You weren't born without a purpose. Anytime God gives a promise, there's a purpose and there's provision. And I believe that. And that was something y'all heard at men's conference. You were born for a purpose. So God is going to give you the provision.